and on this message series called Hidden Blessings. And this is going to be the last part of that series. We're going to start a brand new teaching series next week. Before we dig into the scripture, I want to let you know real quick, if you've never done this before, you're going to want to do this right now today, because right now at about 11:45, 11:50, everyone who's subscribed to text updates from Red Life, we got a little special gift that we're going to be sending you guys through text. Going to access that. And so if you've never done this before, it's just kind of to close out this Hidden Blessings teaching, we got a little reminder. Just want something that you're going to be able to take with you, some pictures and some prayers to keep on your phone. And just to remind you of some scripture when we're going through some of these seasons we've been talking about in this Hidden Blessings series. So to get that, to make sure you get that, subscribe right now to the text. You can get it on your phone right now. So text the word, one word, The Red Life to 88202, okay? The Red Life. And if you've already done this, because we've had this available for a long time, so you don't need to resubscribe or do it again. But if you haven't done that yet, you've never gotten a text message from Red Life Church, we don't blow up your phone with a bunch of silliness and craziness. Really only once in a while, big things, changes in schedules that need to go out, that's out there. But we're going to do that way today. So make sure you subscribe with your phone. Text The Red Life, all one word, The Red Life to 88202, and you'll get a text later on this morning to get that gift for this Hidden Blessing series. But we're going to talk about hidden blessings a little bit more this morning. We're going to end our series today. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, and we're going to be there for most of our time today. Let me read this text, then we're going to dig in, man. You guys ready?
Yes.
You guys ready?
Yes.
Amen. Let's do it. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says, "So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help." Blessed are those who wait for his help. This morning we're going to be talking about the hidden blessing of waiting. Everyone say the hidden blessing. Everybody say the hidden blessing of waiting. Let's dig in this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence right now. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving in our lives. You are speaking to our hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will just be set loose, God, in the atmosphere of this moment as we dig into your word. God, whether we're at home watching online, God, joining with the family that way, or here in the building together face to face. Lord, I pray that today in this moment we will have an encounter with you that leaves us different than the moment we began. Lord, I pray that today we will leave this time together, having taken all of us, no matter where we are in our journey, no matter where we are in our pursuit of you and your calling and what you've created us for in this life. Lord, I pray at the end of this time, we will have all taken one more step on that journey, one more step on that path for which you've called us for and what you've created us for. In Jesus' name, put your hand on your belly right now. Repeat this after me. Say, "Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Hey, so listen, we're talking about the hidden blessing of waiting today. This week in my household, I marked off as a dad and as a parent one of the greatest, biggest milestones that probably exist in our parenting culture, and it was this. My daughter, our oldest, Michaela, 16, got her driver's license this week. You don't have to applause. I guess it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal to me, not to you. I get it. Maybe some of you are like, "Oh, that's a little scary." You're right. It is a little scary. But here's the deal. And all of you moms and dads that have been through this journey before, you know this. This is a big moment. And to be honest, for 16 years, I've had a fantasy in my mind of what it might look like when one of my kids finally got a driver's license. Not only did we get a driver's license, we were able to find a great deal on a little car. So she's out there. So pray, do one of these if you need to, if that's your thing, before you hit the road, because she's out there and she's on the road, and do that for me as well. And the fantasy, the idea, the picture I had in my mind as I've been waiting these 16 years for that milestone moment when one of my kids would start driving is, honestly, I kind of dreamed that I would basically never have to run another errand in my life. I would never go to the grocery store again in my life. 1 a.m. donut run from the grocery store, get out there, kid, get Papa donut, whatever. That was kind of the idea, the fantasy I've had in my life, and I've been waiting on that moment for 16 years. I've been waiting on that possible moment, no more having to run anybody to school school errands. Sister, brother got somewhere to go. Sis, you're up. Take them. It's your job now. That's what has to happen. Dad is chilling. Dad is relaxing. Dad is going to start enjoying his best life right now in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody. And that's the idea I might have had built up. What it has actually turned out to be, however, is just more money I've got to pay for insurance. What it's actually turning out to be is me, a nervous wreck, praying, fasting, seeking God, and basically just wondering, is everything going to work out? And being a nervous wreck every time I watch her go down the road. Any parents ever experienced that? In fact, I think I told my dad at one point this week, I don't know how you ever let me drive. I was probably not qualified at 16. Honestly, I don't even know if I'm qualified at 39 to be out there on the road at some points in my life. I don't know how any of you parents have ever done it except by the grace of God, right? And there's sometimes when you're waiting on something to happen, we have an idea of what that thing's going to look like. And then when it actually happens, it turns out to be something actually entirely different. But here's the thing about waiting, because every one of these messages we've done the last few weeks, there's been kind of the obvious thing about waiting or the thing, like, there's an obvious part of the blessing of battle, and it's that God gets the victory. There's an obvious blessing when we talked about the hidden blessing of lack, in that God will provide. There's an obvious blessing in the blessing of brokenness we talked about last week, and it's that God promises to heal the brokenhearted. I gotta be honest, I don't see any obvious blessing to waiting, except for the fact that this scripture we just read simply says, blessed are those who wait on the Lord. And that's it. There's like no other thing. It's just the Bible says it, so I have to receive it. But I'll be honest, waiting is not, there's no grand thing happening in waiting. Amen? Anybody experience that? Like there's no, I don't see any benefit when I'm having to wait in line at the grocery store. And this happens to me every single time I'm at the grocery, literally 95% of the time at the grocery store, man. I get behind the one person who is either A, still writing checks at the grocery store. And if that's you, no condemnation, do what you gotta do. But man, and it's always like an 85, 95-year-old person who, you know, and they're searching, the lady usually searching through their purse, because men don't write checks, right? But they're searching through their purse, don't have a pen, waiting on a pen to show up, and I just want to shake them and say, get a debit card! For God's sake. Right? Or it's the person who's never used a debit card before. Everybody got that guy? And they're going it in. Didn't work. I don't know. What do I press? I don't know. Do I press my code in? I pressed the wrong button, blah, blah, blah. Never used a debit card before in 2020. Come on, somebody. And I'm just waiting. And here's the thing. I also feel bad about the person that comes behind me. And I do like all the grocery shopping in our house because I don't know why, I just do. I'm a control freak, I guess, and I feel like I need to control. I don't trust anybody else to do the job. I don't trust anybody else to put the groceries in my fridge that I know I'm gonna wanna eat, so I do it myself, that's what I do. So, but I feel bad for the person that comes behind me in the checkout line because I've got a family of six, and when I go to the grocery store, that grocery cart is full. It's going to be a few minutes in the grocery line. And I can't say, once in a while, if I catch you, we're going to the grocery line at the same time and you got like three things in your hand, I'll be the nice guy, I'll let you go before I get it. I got a whole grocery cart. I got 4,000 items. You got three. I'll let you go. But this is just the way it is. If I have unloaded one thing from that cart and then you get behind me, you're out of luck, dude. You're waiting, you know? And I know it's not going to be a very blessed moment, but you're waiting on me. That's the way it is. Sorry. And I've gotten that. You ever gotten that look when you got a grocery? I'm just on some tangent. I'm just going to follow this rabbit trail down. We'll get back to the sermon in a minute. But you ever been in the grocery store and you got a giant cart full of groceries and you just started unloading and that one person shows up behind you with like a case of soda and a cookie, you know what I mean? And they got those two things. They're just looking at you like, you know what I mean? You ever had that exchange where you're like, they're looking at you like, dude, you gonna let me go? And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna let you go. If I start letting you go, I might have to let five other people go. I gotta get this done sometime. Sorry. Anyway, waiting. Waiting is no good. There's no obvious blessing to waiting, except God just happens to say, blessed are those who wait on the Lord. So all of the instances where I feel like I'm waiting on something in my life, all of those blessings is going to be hidden. Amen? Because there is no obvious blessing. But here's a couple things about waiting. We all experience waiting. If you're a child of God seeking God's best and God's promise, God's purpose, God's plan to be unfolded and unraveled in your life, you're going to experience waiting for something once in a while. You're going to experience waiting on God once in a while. Here's a couple things you need to know when you're in a season about waiting, I think is really important. The first thing is this. Listen to me close. Waiting, especially when we're talking about waiting on God, if you're believing God for something, if you're waiting on God to move in a special way in your life, listen to me, don't miss this. Waiting is not passive. Okay? Let me say it again. Waiting is not passive. What I mean by this is this, passive. Waiting, if I'm waiting on God to do something, that doesn't mean I just fold my hands, sit on the couch, and don't do anything at all until God does what I'm believing him to do. That is not what waiting on God is talking about here. The blessed are those who wait on the Lord. Waiting is not passive. In fact, in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 1, David said this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. But watch this, he says, and he turned to me and heard my cry. So David said, I was waiting on God, and God turned to me and heard my cry. What's that? So what is David doing while he's waiting? Well, if God heard David's cry, that means that while David was waiting, he wasn't just sitting there silently, sitting on his hands, waiting for just something to drop out of the sky. David was actively pursuing God, crying out to God while he was in the season of waiting. Amen, somebody? And so if you're in a moment of waiting, if you're in a moment where you're waiting on something to happen, if you're in a moment where you're waiting on God to come through and show yourself, show himself as the way maker that we just sung about and the way maker that he's promised to be in his word, listen to me. You're not supposed to, waiting does not mean I just sit back and do nothing. Waiting means that I actually do everything I know to do in the moment. And after I do that, I'm going to now wait on God, and I'm going to continue every day to get up, be active, and wait on the Lord in that way. Amen? David said, I was crying out to God and he heard me. So in wait, the activity of waiting is this. I'm seeking God. I'm praying. I'm spending time in his presence. I'm getting into the word of God. I'm going to church. I'm serving. I'm doing everything that I know to do to follow the next step that Jesus has for me while I'm waiting. Amen? Waiting is not passive. Waiting is active. This is the other thing you need to know about waiting. Psalm chapter 30, verse 18, the text we read, where it says, blessed are those who wait for his help. And that's the only blessing that we can see, obviously, about waiting. It's just that God said it. But look at the first part of that again. Can you put verse 18 back on the screen again? Isaiah 30, 18. Look at this first part. It says, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. The Lord must wait for you to come to him. Here's the other thing about waiting that you need to understand about waiting. Not only is waiting active and not passive, but there is a part of waiting. And if I'm in a waiting season, here's what you need to understand. Listen to me. Don't miss this. God is likely waiting on me more than I'm waiting on him. Amen? Let me say it again. If I'm in a season of waiting where I feel like, man, the thing that I'm believing for, it's been a long time, and I've been believing for it for a long time, and I've prayed over it many times, and it's just not coming through, and I'm waiting on that job breakthrough, I'm waiting on that financial breakthrough, I'm waiting on that family turnaround, I'm waiting on that, whatever I'm waiting on. Listen, there's a big part of that waiting season where it's actually God waiting on me to get to the place where I am now ready to receive what God has destined and planned a purpose for my life. You follow that logic? You follow that there in the Word of God? Amen? We've seen that? Amen? We awake this morning? Yes. Okay, good. Just want to make sure. God is likely waiting on me more than I'm waiting on him. What is God waiting on me to do? He says, I'm waiting for you to come to me. I'm waiting, God says, for you to get to a place where I can show you my love and compassion, my grace and mercy. So that means that there's some place that I've got to get to in my soul, in my spirit, before I can see what God has for me. And listen, in that waiting where I recognize that when I'm waiting on God, it's likely God waiting for me to get someplace, not me waiting on God to get with the program, but God is waiting on me to get to the program. Listen, it's in that we find the hidden blessing of waiting. And I want to tell you what the hidden blessing of waiting is. Here it is. Listen. It's that if I wait, listen, and this is key. Again, that's why we set this all up. If I wait actively, not passively, if I just pray a prayer and I sit on my hands and I just look to heaven and go, okay, God, I'm waiting on you to show up and for you to do it, that's passive. That's what we're talking about. But if I'm believing God and I'm staying in God's word and I'm staying connected to the family of God and where God's planted me, and if I'm pursuing Jesus' presence on a regular basis in my life, and if my heart is open, my ears are open to do whatever God tells me to do, I'm actively waiting. Listen, if I wait actively, it gets me to the place that God wants me to be. And it's this that we find the hidden blessing. It's this. My active waiting leads to God's active shaping. Okay? My active waiting on God, the pursuit of his promise, the pursuit of his word, the pursuit of his purpose, simply the pursuit of him and his presence, that kind of active waiting in my life opens up the door for God to actively shape me. My heart, my soul, my mind, my spirit, my life, God actively shapes me into what he wants me to be, into that place, and takes me to that place where I'm ready to receive his mercy and compassion. Amen? My active waiting leads to God's active shaping. And then the question might be, okay, so where is the place? Where is the place that God's called me to be? Where is the place that God wants me to be? Where is the place where I am ready to receive Isaiah 30:18? Where is the place where I'm ready to see God's purpose and plan poured out? Well, let's go back to the very foundation of where we started this series a few weeks ago. It's kind of been our theme verse for every idea. And it's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Okay, this is kind of the crux of what we've been talking about the last few weeks. Says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Okay? I mean, we've read this every single week this last few weeks, haven't we? Amen? Right? This is not the first time we heard this. Amen, somebody? Okay? Okay, God doesn't cause everything to happen, but God does cause everything to work together. So no matter what happens in my life, God is able to take that, redeem it, put his hands on it, and work it together for your good. Amen? And for my good. Amen, somebody? But listen, don't miss this. This is what we actually call in Scripture a conditional promise. A conditional promise in Scripture, and there are actually lots of them. In fact, most promises in Scripture have some conditions either around them, which means this, that if I want to see that truth manifested in my life, if I want to see God bring that truth in my life, God has set up some parameters, some conditions around that in order for me to experience that and know that. In fact, about the only couple of unconditional promises that we actually see in Scripture that are just free without any condition on my part or any part of my heart that needs to be adjusted is simply salvation, accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and healing mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Those two things Jesus said, I purchased for you on the cross, and anyone can experience those. Just about every other thing after that, there are some conditions in place. And the condition is a little bit maybe hard to spot at the outset, because I know I've quoted this Scripture a lot in my life, especially when I'm going through hard times, amen? Especially when I'm going through a battle, but I know there's a blessing behind every battle, but listen, what is the condition? The condition for this Scripture is this. It says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of everyone on the planet who has ever breathed air. Is that what it says? Put the Scripture back up for me, Romans 8:28. Just so we know. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of everyone that walks the face of the earth. Is that what it says? We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of everyone that shows up to church on Sunday morning. Is that what it says? We know that God causes everything to work together for everyone who's a good guy just trying to do his best in the world. Is that what it says? No. It says God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The condition and the place that God wants me to get to And the place that active waiting will get me to where God, and the thing that God is going to actively be shaping me into is hopefully this place where I am someone who simply loves God. This is something we need to all ask ourselves. Because everyone doesn't love God. Everyone that comes to church doesn't love God. I would even go as far to say, and I'll just go on a little limb, everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior hasn't quite, not everyone gets to a place where they actually simply, truly love God, the Father, Him for who He is. Now, lots of people love their own idea of God. Lots of people love an idea of God. The idea that there is a Father who created you, who has good things for you, who wants to bless you. Who wouldn't love that? Right? Some people are in love with what their own view or idea of who and what God is, and sometimes that idea of God can be directly opposed to what Jesus has revealed God to be in His Word. Amen? Some people love what God can do for them. If I serve God, if I go to church, if I'm a good boy, if I'm a good girl, if I give, if I tithe, if I pray, if I read my Bible, if I do all the things I'm supposed to do, then God will love me and God will do all these great, wonderful things in my life. And yes, He will. But loving what God will do for me is not the same thing as loving Him. Loving my own made-up idea of who I think God is not the same thing as loving who He has already revealed Himself to be through His Word and through the presence of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Amen? Got real quiet real quick. And Romans 8:28 says that God is working everything together for the good, not of those who love their own idea of God, not of those who love what God will do for them, not of those who even love the theory or the idea of God, but God is working everything together for those who love Him, who He is, who He has revealed Himself to be, who we know Him to be. That's who gets to experience the hidden blessing. And here's the thing. Here's the real hidden blessing of waiting. That active waiting, God is shaping. Guess what happens? While I'm waiting on God to do something in my life, you know what's happening? Is a lot of times the idea of whether or not I'm actually serving, pursuing, and loving God just for who He is, or whether or not I'm loving, serving, and pursuing something that I want God to do, or some idea that I have of what God is and who God is, waiting sorts a lot of that out. Because if I'm waiting on God for whatever, and that waiting goes longer than what I think it should, and I begin to get bitter, I begin to get upset, I begin to lose faith, I begin to back down, I begin to back off, I stop pursuing Him, I stop worshiping Him, I stop seeking His Word, guess what was probably going on? I was probably more in love with an idea of God or more in love with what I wanted God to do for me than I really was with Him. And in the waiting, the hidden blessing of waiting is that that can sometimes allow some of those things to be sorted out. And listen, sometimes we've got to go through a hidden, a dark, not a dark season, but an unpleasurable season of waiting on some things so that I can get my heart right and expose some things going. Because listen, two people can be in the very same church service, singing the exact same song, listening to the exact same message, raising their hands at the exact same places, saying the exact same amens, doing all the exact same things that look like you're in love with God. But in one person's heart, you can be doing all those things just because you're trying to manipulate God to do something for you. And the other person can be doing those things out of a pure, simple love just for God, an expression of who He is. And you can't tell the difference. And sometimes I can't look in the mirror all the time and tell the difference. But when I go through some waiting, it begins to sort out. It begins to expose some stuff. And if I'm waiting actively the right way with a pure heart before God, I can say, God, I'm sorry. I'm getting upset because I don't have this thing on my hand that I think I should have, and you're making me wait for it. And what it's showing me is that, man, I'm more in love with wanting that thing than I am with you. And that may not sound like a blessing, but it is a blessing. Because that's who God's working everything together for. Those who love God. And God loves you and me enough to allow us to go through some of those moments, to allow us to get into a place where we can sort some of that out and work some of that out and get to the place where he's able to work everything for our good. Amen? The hidden blessing of waiting. We see this play out at the end of Jesus' life, the moment of his crucifixion and his trial. He comes through the Passion Week at the end of that final few days of his life. And in Mark chapter 15, in fact, it's mentioned in, actually, I believe all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, mention this guy by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea, we know from what the Bible very briefly mentions about him, Joseph was a member of what was called the Jewish High Council. So he was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. He was on the council that voted and decided, we've got to murder Jesus. We've got to crucify him. We've got to get him out of the way. He's causing too many problems. Joseph was a part of that group. And it was Joseph of Arimathea. What his significance to the story is that it was him after Jesus, the Bible says, gave up his breath and was hanging on the cross and he had died. The Bible says it was Joseph that actually went to Pilate. Joseph says, I want to take Jesus' body down and I'm going to put Jesus in my personal tomb, which at this time, these tombs, the tomb that had the stone and all that was dug into a side of the wall, this would have been only reserved for the richest and the wealthy in this system and in this culture. So Joseph was a very wealthy man. But the Bible says in Mark 15, it describes Joseph this way. It said that Joseph was a secret disciple who was waiting on the kingdom of God. And let me give you just a little broad picture of what's happening in Jesus' time, what this meant, waiting on the kingdom of God. Let me back up even a little bit more. Okay, the nation of Israel has been conquered by the Roman Empire at the time Jesus comes on the scene. They've been a subservient empire, basically a nation state to the Roman Empire, just like almost the entire world was in the Middle East and the European world at that time. The Roman Empire had expanded the entire globe, the known world, okay? They were part of that. Now, because Israel had these promises from the Old Testament and Abraham that God was going to bless them and they were God's chosen people, they were all waiting. Every single one was waiting on this idea of the kingdom of God coming to set them free from Roman law. Their idea of the kingdom was that God was going to send a conqueror or a deliverer to them who would basically undo the Roman Empire's hold on their nation and set them free as a nation. That's what they thought the kingdom of God was. So when they were looking for what they called the Messiah or the Savior, that's the kind of Savior they were looking for. What they didn't realize, that the kind of kingdom that God was coming to establish through Jesus was not one that was going to overthrow earth, but it was one that was going to first overthrow hearts. And so when Jesus comes and begins to declare, I am the Messiah, I am the king that you've been looking for, this begins to play and begins to turn upside down everything that it begins to turn upside down the idea of what all of these men and all of the religious leaders have been waiting for many, many, many years. And somewhere in Joseph of Arimathea's waiting for the kingdom of God, he sees Jesus the king and falls in love with the king of the kingdom that he was waiting for. The other religious leaders were so in love with their own idea of what the kingdom looked like, they rejected the very king of the kingdom that they were waiting on. And you know what? That's exactly where some of us get in the waiting as well. That is what God is wanting to sort out. That is the hidden blessing of waiting that God wants to actively shape and bring us to a place where we get unwrapped and fall out of love with our own ideas of what we think the kingdom of God looks like, and our own ideas of what we think God is, and our own ideas of what we think God is supposed to do for us, and we are able to simply fall in love with him, and we are able to know and fall in love with the king of the kingdom we're waiting on. And when we get to a place where, God, I'm believing you to do some stuff. God, I've got some needs I need you to meet in my life. God, I've got some issues I need to be addressed. I really do. Listen, and God is aware of those, and God wants to deal with those, and God is going to take care of those. But if I can acknowledge that, but say, God, even though I have these needs and I have these things, God, I still love you anyway. God, if I've got to wait a little bit for it, if it's not happening in the way that I'm imagining it to happen, if the thing I'm waiting on shows up in a different way and it turns out to be something different than the idea I had, guess what? I'm still going to follow you, and I'm still in love with you anyway. Guess what just happened? I just got to a place where God is working everything for my good. Because now I love God. I know I thought I loved God before, and probably in some way I did, but I also was really loving what I wanted him to do for me. And I was also really loving what I thought it was supposed to look like. And I was also really in love with my idea of what my purpose was and my calling was and my plan was. And I was in love with all those other things. And the king showed up and started building a kingdom in my life that didn't look like any of that. I guess what we really got to decide is, are you waiting for the king and his kingdom, or are you waiting for your own kingdom? Let's decide. Let's make a firm decision that we are going to plant our feet on today. God, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to want to see your kingdom more than I'm going to love my own idea of what that is. Amen. Stand over.